Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
RadioAFS.com. It's the show that educates and not eradicates. Welcome to The Beating Drunk, the premier Native American radio show that is preserving and restoring positive Native imagery and sports in the American mainstream. Call in at 646-668-8467 to talk with your host, Barbara Steve.
What is going on? The Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. You got Farmer, you got Steve checking in on a lovely Friday here in Spokane, Washington. Actually airing live from Chief Spokane Gary's park here. I just figured it would be a great place to broadcast live from, Steve. So I'm actually broadcasting live from Chief Spokane Park in Spokane, Washington.
Nice. I'm broadcasting from Chief Peter's living room in Farmer City.
Right on, my man. So how you been, brother?
Very busy. Very busy.
Man,
working nonstop.
Man, I hear you there. You know, I got a second part-time job, so I understand being busy and everything else like that, but it's a beautiful day. It's not raining here in Spokane, so I figured I would do a broadcast live here from this great park. I'll be taking some pictures and posting it here on our Facebook page. But they've done an awesome job here at the Chief Spokane Gary's Park.
Sweet.
You know, I feel the respect here, if the name changers had it their way, you know, this park would be taken away, which, you know, would be a travesty to the chief.
Yeah, well, don't give them any ideas, because it's probably on their list of things that they want to hit next, so.
I know, they've definitely been super quiet on Facebook and on Twitter and actually everywhere. So I don't know what's going on. It's not like I wish that the schools were under attack or something else was under attack. But when they're quiet, Steve, and you and I have been doing this long enough, that something definitely bad is going to be happening.
We'll see.
I hope not. I just hope that they packed up their bags and decided, you know what? We're done.
I mean, it's not, you know, from what, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but, you know, they broadcasting on their sites what they're doing, but I guarantee you that there are people that are still aligning, making big stinks. We see it all the time, and they're not going to give up until they go, you know, and get what they want. So, you know, that's just the way they are. They're committed to basically eradicating their culture because they're complete morons.
I couldn't agree more with you. I was I guess living in one of those make-believe worlds and wishing that they finally saw the damage that they were doing to my culture and to their culture.
Yeah. Well, you might have to get them a pretty strong prescription pair of glasses so they can see exactly what's going on, because apparently they're missing all the signs, which is really sad, because it just shows how stupid and ignorantly blinded they are.
Most definitely. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find us on all the social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook. Just type in The Beating Drum Radio Show. Give us a like. You can find us on Twitter. Just type in, again, The Beating Drum Radio Show. Follow us there. We'll follow you. We even have an Instagram. I found us on Instagram. I don't know who runs that particular Instagram, but it's not me. So I'm trying to find out who actually is running the Beating Drum Instagram. So we'll definitely look at that, but we are on Instagram. Or you can just type into Google, Bing, Yahoo, Ask. No, the Beating Drum doesn't get paid for saying those. Just type in the Beating Drum Radio Show. Excuse me. You will see us. You'll see the blog talk. You'll see us on iTunes. So you can definitely download the latest version of the Beating Drum Radio Show right there on your iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, on any actual Android phone, and play it around for your family and friends, and tell them about tell them about the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was cool for. Go ahead, Steve.
Word of mouth. It's a nice way to travel around, get the hype instead of, I think I'm old school. I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways. I'd much rather people go out and tell their friends face to face, hey, you need to check out this show or check out this Facebook page. Sometimes like posting it on your Facebook page, that's fine. It gets you a little bit of likes here and there, but how many people actually check it out, So you need to tell them hey man, you need to be looking at this because this is a real nationwide issue and there's a problem here. And these guys are doing all that they can to resist. Get on board. We got plenty of
room. Most definitely. I agree with you 100%. When I was in the Verizon Wireless store, they said, you sound like a radio show host. I'm like, well, I have a small podcast, a small radio show here on Blog Talk, and started. They're like, oh, what's it about? And I told them, and found out that the person who was selling me my new iPhone, his boyfriend was actually First Nations up there in Canada, and we just started talking about the about Native American imagery and how he supports it and how his boyfriend supports it. And it was amazing. I handed them business cards and of the show and told them to check it out. So if the guys at Go Wireless in the Spokane Valley are listening, great job with my phone. So I do appreciate it. And no, Go Wireless is not paying for this seamless plug. But it just shows, Steve, that, you just go out and talk with people and tell them about what you're doing. They seem to get more involved instead of just seeing something on Facebook and pressing the like button.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, because you're trying to bring people together, and a lot of people don't want to be involved in it. They just rather put their heads in the sand and hide and, let someone else take the ball and run with it. And that's, that's fine. That's their position. Okay, cool, whatever. I'm not that way. But it seems like anytime I'm out in public, no matter where I'm going, I'm at the mall or something or wherever, I always find somebody that's either wearing a Cleveland Indians hat or shirt or a Redskins jersey or maybe they have a Native American tribal shirt or something. And I always want to give them one of my cards and go, hey, let's have a conversation. But then I reach down to my wallet and I'm like, I'm out of business cards. I need to replenish my wallet. And I have a whole box of cards sitting on my dresser, and I keep forgetting to put new cards in my wallet. I'm messing up bad right now. It's not even funny. I suck at life.
Yeah, it's okay, my man. Actually, I keep that same box of business cards. They used to be at my house on my dresser or on the table or whatnot. But I'm like, you know what? I keep forgetting them. So what do I do? I actually put the whole box of my 500 business cards that I paid for. And Steve, of course, pays for his. The network doesn't pay for it, or the Beating Drum Radio Show doesn't pay for our business cards. I actually put them in my car now, so that they're at the ready all the time.
It's a good way to go, Those things are important, You give people business cards, they can look, and it piques interest, hopefully. And whatever we got to do to get more people involved and start fighting back instead of sitting back and watching. Or it's kind of incredible sometimes when you talk to people and they're like, I didn't even know that this was a thing. I didn't even know that this was a problem. Like, where have you been the last 5 years? really, like, what rock you've been living on? Because I want to go live there too.
You know, Steve, I agree with you, you know, 100%. And, you know, your popularity, sir, on your Monday night Facebook live videos has become outstanding. I'm looking here at the page on Facebook, and we've reached just shy of 2,200 people with that particular post. And it's only with shares shared five times. Now, what that tells me is that there's five people out there that really, really like you, Steve. And out of the five, over half of those views, you know, just think, ladies and gentlemen, if half of you shared that video, just think of the more outreach that the Beating Drum Radio Show and Steve and our message would have. So even though you watched it, you agree with it, you're like, yeah, Steve, I'm jiving with you, pulling on your beard and your Chief Wahoo hat there on the back of the goalposts and everything else like that. Share the videos, share everything on the page. The reason why is because you don't know who's on your Facebook page that doesn't know what's going on. Like Steve said, if they're living under a rock, they may not know, but nine times out of 10, hopefully, you know, for what I've dealt with, Steve, the vast majority of people here in Spokane know what's going on because of the Spokane Indians single-A baseball club and also the Spokane Chiefs hockey team. And they have numerous of schools here that are Native American named and have the imagery, and they haven't came under attack per se yet, but they're like, well, we know it's coming. So I've kind of, you know, to the people who's brought it to my attention, I've given them business cards and said, hey, you know, let myself and the Beating Drum Radio Show staff help you prepare for the Not Your Mascot hate groups. And I'm just still waiting for those particular phone calls from those schools. And the Spokane Indians home opener, the Beating Drum and myself will actually be going to the stadium and going to the home opener game.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's exposure, networking, you're mingling, which is, you know, something you got to, you know, it takes diligence to do what we do, and not for the faint-hearted. It's not for people who are easily offended or, you know, battled down with words. You gotta have a thick spine and a really strong sense of testicular fortitude to do this stuff, because it is a tough battle. And a lot of people just want to say, well, it's really not that big of a deal. I mean, we're just talking about team names. I'm like, no, we're not talking about team names. There is a core essence of what this battle is about. It's not about sports teams or school names. Those are the extra added things that are thrown on top of it to hide the basic fundamentals of what this agenda is. And the basic principle here is that this is a fight against free speech. It's going against the Constitution and saying, you're not allowed to represent yourself the way that you want to, whether it's with images or verbal words. You're not allowed to have those. We're going to battle you down, take it from you. It's fighting against the First Amendment. That's the basic argument. A lot of people miss that. They think it's about, you know, feelings and sensitivities. No, it's about going against the freedom of speech. That's what people need to remember, is that it's fighting against the First Amendment, plain and simple.
Very much so, Steve. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, how is it a first? Excuse me. I'm still trying to get over this darn cold. You know, it is. And if they start taking this away, what else are they going to start taking away for our you know, amendments? And you know, Steve, there's a lot of whitewashing, I guess, is probably the best way. And I know that this isn't Native American related, but I know that our lovely phone lady, you know, posted about this down there in Louisiana, where they're actually taking statues out of areas that are actually of, if I'm not mistaken, Confederate generals. So I guess it's just sad that you know, that our history, it doesn't matter if it's Native American history, it doesn't matter, it's American history. In these the pussification, and I know I haven't used that word in such a long time, and this is probably the right time to say it, the pussification of our country and of the people who are trying to whitewash America, there's something wrong with you. This is our history. All because you remove something doesn't mean that it won't ever be brought up again. It bugs me, Steve.
It should do more than bug you. It should outright make you irate. I mean, that's how I feel. And these idiot elite leftists, I was just reading an article a few minutes ago where now people are protesting against McDonald's because they say that having Asian salad is racist towards Asian people, which is absolutely not equivalent. It doesn't even make sense. It's so off base. And that's what we always say, that people throw the word racist around so much now that it doesn't mean anything. And it's really funny because when you think about it, they've actually contradicted their own cause. Because when you say something is racist, you're using that to bring up attention, like, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Like, you shouldn't do this because of the connotation or the context or what it signifies. But when you throw the word racist around at every single thing, it actually debunks what you're fighting for. It shows that you don't know what you're talking about and that you're all just a bunch of morons. Don't take you seriously.
I agree. You know, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, weren't they removing the Ten Commandments from a federal building there in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, a year ago this time also?
They already did. They took it down. I couldn't tell you what day it was or when, but I drove. Let me see. It's been over a year now, because that was at the state capitol, and it was on the Capitol grounds. It was a large statue that was the Ten Commandments. It was like a big, flat, statue, and it had the commandments written on it. And they voted to take it down. They took it down overnight. It did it in secrecy because they didn't want a bunch of protest groups out there attacking city workers. And I used to drive by that every day because I worked right down the road from the Capitol, and I never actually saw it. I never parked and walked around the Capitol to go see it, but I know it was somewhere on the grounds. Now, I'm okay with them taking that down for one simple reason, because it is unconstitutional. You're supposed to have separation of church and state. You can't have a state building proclaiming their Christian faith or proclaiming that they're Catholics. You're not supposed to do that because there's separation between church and state. I get the part. I don't take any kind of part in religion, so I'm not offended yet, but I could see where people would be, because they feel like if you post the Ten Commandments on a state capitol grounds, then what you're basically saying is we're only recognizing faith of, like, the Christian faith. You're not posting up anything for people that are Jewish. You're not posting anything for people that are Buddhist or Hindu. You've only really symbolically recognized Christian faith. So I was kind of okay with that. But I wish they had moved it off-site somewhere and put it somewhere else in the city rather than on state grounds.
You know, Steve, I agree with you, on the aspect of there definitely needs to be a division between, not division, but, a separation between, religion and government and everything else like that. You know, I would like to know what happened to, that particular scroll or something like that. Hopefully it wasn't just crushed, and hopefully it was placed somewhere. But, let's go back to what got us there and segued into. People are offended by these general statues, but it's history. So it's just it's ridiculous that they're doing this at night, if I'm not mistaken, again, to remove these statues at night. And I don't even think that excuse me, I don't even think that that there was even a vote on it, Steve. They're just removing stuff just because somebody's offended by it.
So we're talking about the city of New Orleans, Louisiana, that government officials got together and said, we're doing away with all Southern historic monuments because they feel that these monuments are somehow promoting racist culture, you know, and it reflects poorly on the city because they're only there to hearken back to dark times of the U.S. history. So the governor of Louisiana, or the mayor, I think it was, got together with legislators. They put forward this, you know, passing a bill or a law, whatever it was. And now they're taking all these statues down. Now they say that they're going to be moved to a warehouse until they can find a better place for them to be displayed. I right now am calling yes on that. They're going to take the statue somewhere off out of, you know, sight of people's eyes. They're going to destroy them. That's what's going to happen. And you think back to, let me go back. What they're doing here right now by destroying these monuments, it's going to sound like a crazy statement, but it's absolutely true. It's no different than what ISIS is doing over in the Middle East with all of the statues that they're going after. They're going after religious and, you know, symbolic statues and temples. They're destroying everything that has to do with anything that is anti whatever faith it is that they're preaching. And this is what they're doing. They're trying to systematically and symbolically eliminate anything but what they believe in. And so you have these governors who are doing the exact same thing. And they do it out of this warped sense of reality that for the governors, whatever, in Louisiana, they say, well, if we take these away, then racism just will go away. There will be nothing to be racist against. And that is absolutely incoherent thought process, because what they're going to do is take all of these things away, and it's actually going to lead to the rise of more radical racist groups that are against whatever culture, you know, those people are trying to promote. So by taking away all these Confederate statues and destroying them, you're going to give rise to groups like the neo-Nazis or the nationalist agenda or the Ku Klux Klan. You're going to give rise to those people because they're going to feel denigrated. They're going to feel systematically left out, and they're going to feel like, you know what? I'm not being heard. I'm going to reach out to the far extremes, and that's what's going to end up happening. And they're going to cause for a bigger problem later down the road. But no one's asking me because I'm just some little troll living in Oklahoma.
Right, a little troll with a hockey net in his living room. You know, Steve, it's crazy that, you know, all because you remove these monuments, it doesn't mean that the history is erased. All that you're doing is that you're setting it up to happen again. And to me, that's where I have the issue with this, is if you're erasing the history, if you want to whitewash the American history for you know, whatever reasons you may have. I know myself, I wasn't around during the Civil War, and if I was, I'm a vampire. So if you're trying to hold me accountable, or if you're trying to hold these particular generals accountable for your oppression now, just think of how stupid that sounds right now. Just process that for a second. These generals didn't have any bearing on what you or your family is currently doing right now.
Right. And people wanted these idiot groups that, you know, they say, oh, well, this statue of Robert E. Lee is making me feel oppressed, and it's leading people to remember what it was like to have slaves. And I'm like, okay, that is so not in reality. Because if you actually did your research on Robert E. Lee, you would come find out that what you're being taught about him is not the whole story. I did a huge research project on Robert E. Lee. I was in fifth grade, and we had to do it on a historical U.S. Figure. So people did different, you know, people. But I chose Robert E. Lee because of my ties to style. My dad's a historian, so I was able to put together a really well-written art. And my mom hand-sewn me this, you know, Robert E. Lee General's outfit with the coattails and the stars on my shoulder. It was really great. So what people think is that Robert E. Lee was like some racist who was supporting slavery and would fight for it at every end, because that's what history teachers are now promoting in their classes. They're telling people to have slaves. It's not true. The Civil War was fought because Southern states wanted to be able to have their own state rights. They didn't want to have to report to one central, local, centralized government in Washington, D.C. and be told how they should govern within their state lines. They wanted independent state rights. That's the basic argument for the Civil War. Slaves just happened to be another part of that fight. But Robert E. Lee, who led the Southern Army, really did not want to lead the Southern Army. He wanted no part of it. He didn't volunteer for that position. He was basically begged and pleaded upon to take lead of the Southern Army. He did not want that fight. Now, Robert E. Lee's family had a plantation. I've actually been there multiple times and camped out on the front yard. They did have slaves. But as a child, Robert E. Lee was given slaves because that's how this process worked. You were handed down slaves, you know, when you became a man. He actually freed his slaves. He gave them clemency, and they were free to go. He wanted not to keep these people. He didn't want to keep slaves. The thing that people need to know is that the reason why the South lost, well, not really the reason, but when they did lose, when Robert E. Lee finally conceded defeat, it wasn't because they were outnumbered or they were outmanned or he realized, hey, we're not winning the war. He conceded defeat because he couldn't bear losing people. He knew that brothers, sons, fathers, they were dying. It broke his heart. He no longer wanted to bear witness to the death and destruction that was happening. So Robert E. Lee finally conceded. That's the things they don't teach you in history class. And I think if taught that stuff, if told people about these little things just for racism, and that's not true. And I urge people, if you have any interest in this, go out and start doing some real hard research on this, because there's great material out there and it'll blow your mind, I promise.
You know, Steve, you are definitely a vast book. I believe when we started talking about Jeb Stuart, I believe it was a little under a year ago, you know, because there's a school named Jeb Stuart where they were trying to eradicate their particular name due to, you know, it's being racist and he's a Southern, you know, a Confederate and everything else like that. And then they found out how much it was actually going to cost to actually eradicate that particular name and imagery. And if I'm not mistaken, Steve, and correct me if I am wrong, it was close to about $1 million to change that particular school's imagery and name.
Something like that. I don't remember the exact estimate, but I remember it was pretty high. They're still fighting that battle. It's not over. They're still trying to change the name or whatever it is that they're going for now. I'm not really 100% specific on that, but I know that it is still going. And a lot of things were brought up where they said, oh, well, Jeb Stuart was a slave owner. That's their whole argument. One little thing that they look at it, we can't have this because of this little thing that happened 230 whatever years ago. But they're forgetting all the good things that Jeb Stuart brought up. And that's being overshadowed. His contributions to the world are being overshadowed by something that not necessarily he support. I mean, yes, he had slaves, but guess what? He's not the only person at the time in our country's history. Slavery was just a part of the way things happened. There's nothing you can say, do, eliminate that's going to change that. No one's justifying it or validating it. You're saying, oh, you know, it was okay. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there are a lot of things that happen in a lot of different places, historically speaking, that countries come to the rise. They do. That's not okay. But that's human nature. We make mistakes and we learn from it. I mean, we could sit here all afternoon about things that have, that we wish could be erased. But if we erase those things, the lessons that we've learned post, you know, that the day that it happened, all those things we're learning after the fact would all just be gone. So we have to follow through with these things and take the lessons and learn from it rather than going after them with crosshairs at every single thing. It doesn't change anything.
You know, Steve, again, I agree with you. It looks like we have one of our favorite callers here on hold. So we're going to bring Mr. Dave Davidson live here with Farmer and Steve. Dave, you are live on the Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, and DRCP Army. How are we doing tonight, sir?
Oh, doing pretty good. How'd you get that all out of your mouth in one going?
Oh, it's practice, my man. I've been practicing that and practicing it, and they're like, Farmer, you got to do it. I'm like, well, I don't have to do it if I don't want to. But it's great to hear from you, sir.
Yes. Well, I wanted to ask you, what you were naming off some of the schools there earlier, or the names. What's happened with the Well Pennant Redskins? Are they still have their name, don't they?
Dave, yes, the Well Pennant Redskins do still have their name. There was a bill about 6 or 7 months ago, excuse me, if I'm not mistaken, where the state of Washington was actually going to ban the word Redskins because it was hostile and abusive. That particular bill never really got any backing behind it, which is really shocking coming from Washington State and in the generally the way the pendulum swings. But doing some more research on that, that bill is now dead in the water, and it seems like the Well Pennant Redskins are safe for now.
Yeah. Well, I know that the National Coalition Against Sports or Racism in Sports and Media in 2014 was planning to have a lawsuit against them. And I was just wondering if anything has happened since that time.
No, actually, there was one school, Dave, on the coast. I'm drawing a blank on it. That actually did change their name in the 2014 campaign, but the Well Pennant Redskins kind of said, hey, you know, we are on a reservation, we are Native American, and it was just kind of one of them things that I think that probably saved them, and in my eyes, that shouldn't have any bearing on saving a school's name or not, but there was one school in 2014 that did lose their particular name.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I disagree or agree with you on whether it doesn't make any difference whether it's a reservation school or not, but I do know that reservation schools are under attack right now too, all around the country, and they're being forced to really fight hard to keep their names, but that's only for now. It's a matter of time before they're coming back, and they're going to do that, or remove those also, if they're successful. That's why it's so important to stop this movement, because it's like a snowball. Once it starts rolling downhill, it gets so big at some point that you can't stop it, and the reservation schools will lose their names also. And it's happened in, well, Oregon with the Grand Ronde and the, what is it, Sells or something like that tribe. They had to fight like hell, excuse my language, but they had to fight very hard to keep their reservation school names and images. And then in South Dakota, the same thing happened. And it's a movement to erase every one of them, but they're letting reservations kind of somewhat go right now. They're attacking them, and they're having to fight back, but they'll give up on them for now. But then I'd also like to
most definitely, Dave, and you know what I mean by the well-pennant Redskins here in Washington. I think, and this is my personal opinion, I don't have any facts behind it, but again, this is my opinion, and people can agree or disagree with it. I think maybe in 2014 they're like, well, one that wasn't in wasn't on a reservation, so now this one can slide per se. So I just felt that maybe they got off I wouldn't say easy, because any school in anywhere in America that has a Native American name and image should be saved. It doesn't matter if it's a reservation school or a non-reservation school.
Yeah, I agree. But like I say, reservations are under attack too. And people aren't being told the whole story. So many of the reservations, they don't even know that their school name and image it's a matter of time before it's gone if we don't stop this movement. But I'd like to comment. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, because I had someone pose the question to me yesterday afternoon. Information or articles to back up this. I guess there was a concern, or maybe something was brought up along the lines where there was a bunch of high school students who claimed to be Native American who said that they were fighting against the symbols and names because they were embarrassed, because that having these names and symbols promoted assimilation into a white man's world. And they felt like by having these, Native Americans were actually losing their identity. They were being kind of somewhat scrubbed out of history. And I actually didn't have any kind of information to back that up, even though I have been told that from different people, that, you know, some people felt kind of like, well, this is just a really, I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird way to phrase it, but by doing this exactly, by wiping out these names, is that a way of assimilating to a white man's world?
Well, you kept cutting out there, but I think I got the gist of your question. But I think I got the gist of your question, and that is that to accept these names is assimilating. And, my wife, she's full-blood Dakota Sioux. And she puts it best. Yes, she is assimilated, but she doesn't know any, and I will stress that, she doesn't know any Native American who isn't. They drive cars. They have telephones. They watch TV. They have video games and all of these things, and that is assimilated. She knows of no one goes out and lives in a teepee and hunts for their food all the time, rides a horse. Well, even horses were assimilated because they are not natural to the United States. So they were brought over by the Spanish. So these people that, if they ride horses, they go to rodeos, or they do any of this, they are assimilated. Many of them wear cowboy hats.
Right. I would say that anything outside of that atypical idea of what we not assume, but more like what we were taught about how Native Americans live their life, like you said, living in teepees, hunting for their food, you know, using rocks as weapons, you know, to make arrowheads and things like that. Anything outside of that is assimilation, because that was their culture. That's the way that they refined their own techniques. Anything outside of that was learned. It was applied to their culture and integrated in. So that is assimilation.
Yes. And so many of those screaming the loudest, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. Those images, that doesn't represent us. They're standing there screaming those things out, wearing beads and fur jacket or vests and stuff, beads all around them. But they have their braids and all this. They have dressed themselves up as those Native Americans of 150 years ago, and they're screaming, that's not what we look like, but that's what they're presenting. That's contradiction. And
very.
It is all right to dress that way, if that's the way they feel. But to
that was,
say that, no, that's not what we look like.
Yeah, that was
exactly
my original question with my mic. My mic was breaking. But the original question was, you know, that they say that having these four names is washing out Native Americans and assimilating them into the, you know, regular world. But I asked, like, by eliminating these symbols, is that more like assimilation? Could you wipe them out?
And one of the things, again, I couldn't quite hear the whole question, but one of the things that we have to remember, wonderful saying, he who forgets the past is doomed to repeat it. And if we, when you guys were talking about slavery, to remove everything about slavery, generals and all of that, is to remove that from history, remove it from sight, so that you aren't reminded of something that happened years ago. Well, it happened years ago, and we've moved on. We've made much progress. You cannot remove these things because then people will forget they even happened. And I think it's just a terrible situation that these people do not realize what they're doing. America has made much progress from the time it was founded. And they're following, we're getting closer and closer and closer to following the Constitution. Well, now we're getting further and further away from it, and you see all of the turmoil in the country today because we're getting away from the Constitution. We are stopping freedom of speech. We're protesting. If it bothers one person, well, my God, there isn't one person alive in America today that isn't offended by something. So that means we have to take away everything.
So
if you're offended,
Dave,
by a race
I'm
of
gonna
people.
Make light of something. So I'm offended by the Dallas Cowboys. So can we start a movement to get rid of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, just as long as don't get rid of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Hey, that a boy. I'm going to get you in trouble with your wife, sir. And Miss Eunice, he said it, not me.
Yeah, that's where we're reaching a point that if we allow this to go because someone is offended somewhere by something, then there is going to be nothing left of us. And God forbid should the United States of America ever cease to exist, and that we're headed that way. But we are the greatest nation in the world, and we have contributed more to freedom than any past culture or people, period. Even the Native Americans, I mean, they enslaved them, the Aztecs and the Mayans, and look at what the Iroquois did to the Potawatomi and the Ojibwe and all them. They pushed them out, they oppressed them and moved them out. I mean, every last culture that has ever been has done this. And the United States is the closest to stopping that from ever happening again. So those people that are opposed to the United States and its Constitution, they do not know what they're going to get once they abolish it. But I'd also like to say something. You guys were talking about the Ten Commandments. Well, I disagree in the respect that in the Constitution, it says God-given rights. It doesn't say Christian God. It doesn't say Jewish God. It doesn't say Muslim God or any God. It says God. It doesn't say Tatanka, Walkin Tonka, or the Great Spirit. It says God. Every one of them has a God. So, I mean, to have the Ten Commandments, that is a set of laws to live by. It's not a religious one. It's a set of laws to set boundaries. And it belongs in front of every courthouse. It belongs in front of every state capital and the United States capital. And it is not religion. But our country is founded on God-given rights. And so, I mean, to go and produce one type, now that's where you're forbidden from in the government. You can't support Christianity. Well, Moses was not a Christian. And you can't support the Jewish. You can't support the Muslims or any of this. It has to be just plain God, and God covers every religion or culture there is. So I believe it belongs there. But the horrible thing is, like I said, he who forgets the past is doomed to repeat it. And Native Americans, there's a lot of tragic events that happened with them. And to erase all of that, then what happens then? When you've erased it all, there is no more Indian representation. And they'll say, no, we just want to get rid of names and images. Well, no. When you get rid of names and images, the next step is getting rid of the history, getting rid of this. It's already being twisted out of shape. But these are all things that people do not look beyond their personal thing right now, this moment. They don't look at the consequences that comes from their actions. And my biggest passion in this world is to save Native American culture. And there's so many different ones throughout the United States. We have tribes fighting now to get recognition. Well, this was their land. They should have some sort of recognition in every spot where there was. Like in Napa, that belonged to the Wapo tribe. They need that recognition, even though it's only 54 acres that they want. What the heck is wrong with giving them the 54 acres? And we have Chief Brown out in Virginia, I think it is, wants their tribe recognized. Well, what is wrong with recognizing them? Man, they need to be recognized.
You know, Dave,
There's more.
The only thing that I can think about, and people will be like, "Well, Farmer, you're a conspiracy theorist, or you're anti-government, or whatever," and that's not the case. But I again, this would be my thought process, Dave, and you can of course correct me if you think I'm wrong. But you know, if the government says, "Hey, yes, you are now a national recognized tribe." Well, now it's kind of like the government then has to, you know, support, you know, that particular tribe also. And we all know what the government thinks truly about Native Americans. And it's been proven over and over again that all that the United States government wants to do is take away Native American land, take away anything that happens to happen to do with Native Americans, because they don't want to pay for whatever they're paying for, sir.
Yeah, they do not want their obligation. The treaties obligated them to do things for eternity. And they're trying to get out of doing that now. They have the land, so now we don't need to pay as we agreed to. And one of the things...
Definitely.
They're trying, since 1871, they quit making treaties, and then they started making agreements. And every agreement they made after that was looking to end the obligations of the United States to these Native Americans who owned this whole land at one time. And they gave up their land for money, they were paid, and they were relocated. And with that relocation, the government guaranteed them, we will do this for you. And now it's at the time that, well, we don't want to do it anymore, so let's try these various ways to get rid of our obligation. Well, under treaties have to be abrogated or annulled. They can't just be annulled because we want to annul them. You've got to have a reason. And like with the Dakota in 1862, the uprising. Well, they said, well, you attacked us unprovoked, which was a lie. But the Native Americans did attack the white settlers and the government and that. So they said, you have broken the treaty. They didn't look at all the things that they did first, like stopping the annuities, taking more land, and not filling their obligations that they had in the treaty, and allowing individuals to fraudulently siphon off all the monies that was due to the full bloods and that, or the tribal members. They didn't look at that, and they just looked at the retaliation that the Sioux did, but they abrogated the treaties with them. And they found out later that that was wrong, too. They didn't have the authority to do it because not all of the Sioux or Dakota Sioux participated in that uprising. You can't punish a whole people, a whole group of people, because a few of them do this or that. So, but the government has not been able to abrogate these treaties. There is no legal way that they can do it. And the sad thing is, for Native Americans, they go to the courts, and then they'll maybe win at a lower level. Then the appeals court will overturn it, and then they have to go to the United States Supreme Court. Well, treaties are above the Supreme Court's ability to rule on, other than a treaty cannot be made that violates civil rights. That's the only way that the United States Supreme Court can get involved in the case. But because the federal government, I mean, who are we suing? We're suing the federal government for doing what they're doing. And who do we have to go to see about suing them? We have to go to the federal government. That's asinine. Excuse my language again, but that's all it is. And these are the things that under the Constitution, you put the Constitution, you read it, and the treaties are the supreme law of the land. And so far, more than half of the tribes have been somehow eliminated. And many of them are not even remembered by anybody today. And if we do not stop this thing that's going on right now, that's what's going to happen to all Native Americans. They will be eliminated. Nobody will remember who they were.
I agree with you 100%, and that's why we need to spread the word about the Beating Drum Radio Show so that this does not happen. Because if these name changers, if the Not Your Mascot hate groups get their way, you won't know what a Sioux is. You won't know what an Apache was. You won't know what a Ojibwe is. You won't know what a Blackfoot or Blackfeet is. You won't know what the Iroquois Confederacy is or was. So we need to stand up. We need to rise up, and we need to keep the Native American history in our history books, but to be told and to be taught the correct way, and not to be taught the whitewashed way or the white man's version. We need to speak the truth, and we need to we truly need to speak the truth about Thanksgiving and truly what happened during and before the Thanksgiving holiday in my particular eyes.
Yeah. The truth is so vital. It is so vital. And you know, there's good things that happen, there's bad things that happen. But they did happen. And again, I'll go back to it. He who forgets the past is doomed to repeat it. And right now, people do not realize we are not a democracy. We are a republic. And the Constitution gives everybody certain rights that cannot be taken away by anybody. In a democracy, if 51% of the population says that we will not tolerate blonde-haired kids, then every blonde-haired kid has to change the color of his hair or else be done away with. That's what a democracy says. But the republic says, no, everyone has their God-given rights to this and that, various issues. And that is very important. We got to keep reminding people that we are a republic which gives everyone certain rights, but your rights do not supersede someone else's rights. Now, like I say, if you're offended, you can't go out there and offend 9 other people that disagree with you. You have the right to express your opinion, but you cannot force them to accept your opinion, just as they can't force you to accept their opinion, no? And these are things that are getting lost in this whole topsy-turvy country we're having right now. And freedom of speech is the most vital aspect that keeps us the way we are, and that's being lost now.
You know, Dave, I agree with you 100%. And is there anything else you want to say to the Beating Drum family and friends, sir?
Well, I guess, like I do, I come on there every so often and go and blow my mind off and everything, and I guess I've said about as much as I need to for right now. I'll be back, though.
You know, Dave, I always see this number pop up, and I always message the phone lady. I'm like, which one is it? Is it is it Dave or Eunice? Because it's definitely a number that I recognize. And Dave, it's always a honor, sir, to have you grace our listeners with your words of wisdom. You know, whether they agree with them or whether they disagree with them, that's what makes this show so great.
Yes, this is
a neutral, semi-neutral ground. Granted, Steve and myself are definitely in the show. It is for saving the names and images, but we have had a handful, maybe less than a handful of the name changers come on and express their opinion and leaving like they didn't get ambushed. And that is exactly what this show is all about. And Dave, thank you so much for calling in, sir.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on. And like I say, I'll be back at some point and rattle on some more.
All righty, sir. Take care.
I'm glad you guys give me the time
in,
to do it.
North Dakota, hopefully Mother Nature lets go of winter for you.
Yes. Well, she's doing it. The snow isn't gone again now. But that doesn't mean it can't come back in a week or so either. But I'll let you guys go now then. And
alrighty,
thank
sir.
You for allowing me to talk.
You're very welcome, Dave, and take care, sir.
You betcha. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, guys, that was Dave Davidson, an awesome caller. He's great. We're going to run off here real quick for a quick commercial break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back here on the Beating Drum Radio Show on RadioAFS.com, BlogDoc.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. Don't go away now.
Now, a word from our sponsors.
Bob's Big Bend Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Bend Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Bend Bowling.
We'll be right back.
Detroit Rock City Promotions, everything you need for your party, wedding, show, or event. DJ services, tent setup, table and chairs, mobile stages, sound and lighting, photography, on-staff reverend. Book DRCP Army today at 810-627-9773. That number again is 810-627-9773. Or find us on the web at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com.
Tune into the wormhole.
Speaking about Jean-Claude Van Damme earlier.
Were we speaking about him earlier?
No, actually, we were talking about Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was talking about the Vietnam War, which was ended, and Chuck Norris, but he had help from Jean-Claude Van Damme.
When he was born, World War II also ended.
Right. Yeah. I mean, his birth ended. World War II. Right. Yeah. We all know that. That's also factually correct.
Well, everything about Chuck Norris is always factually correct.
Yes, everything on the wormhole.
Fact check it.
Tune into the wormhole, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Once there was this kid who got into an accident and couldn't come to school, but finally came back. His hair had turned from black into bright white. He said that it was from when the cousin smashed his soul.
And now, back to the beating drum with Farmer and Steve.
Welcome back to the Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. You got Farmer, you got Steve. Hopefully the technician's got his mic working back properly. Steve, you should be proud of me. I did not cut off this song, sir.
Somehow, is it better?
You are definitely really, really quiet, Steve.
Right now?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I think my connection, my little tinder piece is going. I think that's what's wrong.
Ah, gotcha. Well, Steve, you know, Dave always comes on and says some great wisdom and everything else like that. It always seems like these Not Your Mascot people, and I don't seem to bring them up, and it's not because I like pissing in their Cheerios. Well, actually, I do. But, you know, it's okay for them to force their opinion on you and force their feelings and force their rhetoric and force everything down your throat. But when you come back with logic, meaning the pro people, you know, it's like, oh my God, we're the anti, you know, the Antichrist per se. Not to get religious or anything else like that. I can't think of a better term of that. But you know, when we start coming back at them, they're like blah blah blah. It's all rhetoric. It's all racism. It's bigotry. It's you're uneducated and we're educated and you're not. And they want us to listen to them, but yet they don't want us to listen. They want them. They don't want, you know what I mean. They want us to listen to them, but they're not going to be willing to open up their ears, open up their cortex in their brain and take in, digest what we have to say to them.
Of course, it's a one-sided argument.
Hey, there you are. I can hear you now.
All right. Yes, this little connecting piece I use on my microphone, I think it's just a piece of crap. But, you know, it's the idea of it being a one-sided argument that only benefits one person or one side. That's the whole thing that they're, you know, they're living and dying by, is that it's just all or nothing in their favor. And, you know, it's really, really crappy. It's very shady and shallow way of living your life. And it's unethical and it's immoral. And it's really low. It's a really low type of human being that goes after things like these, the approach and the animosity and the vitriol that they bring. So, you know, they're pretty low.
You know, Steve, I agree. And when they do start spewing their rhetoric, it's nothing but lies. And more lies,
of course.
And saying this and saying that and making people look 10 times worse than what they are. And you and I have actually been, I wouldn't call us victims of this rhetoric, but the show has. The show has came under fire, and our page has came under fire with these lies and everything else like that. And there's been nothing substantial. They come on and say, well, you're not Native American. To Steve, well, of course he's not. He's never claimed to be Native American. You know, it's like, and they never seem to come after me. They try, but I'm so transparent that I hide nothing. I tell you where I live. I've even given my own phone number here on the show. And when I hand out my business cards, I give out my personal cell phone number. So, for anyone out there that is trying to find something on the Beating Drum Radio Show and its staff, we are very, very transparent. We're not hidden. We're not closed. We are a very, very transparent show, organization. If organization is the right term, Steve. But, you know, we are very transparent. Whatever you find is what you're going to find. If you dig deeper, the only thing you're going to find is the same stuff. So if you want to know more about the Beating Drum Radio Show and its staff, why don't you just ask us? Because I guarantee Steve will tell you who he is. Myself, I will tell you who we are. And the staff will tell you who they are when they feel it's pertinent to them. So on that note, Steve, we are definitely the most transparent radio show out there, at least in my eyes, because what's on our page is who we are. We believe in these names and we believe in these images. And if you don't believe in the names and if you don't believe the images, please give us a call, 646-668-8467, and tell us why. You all seem to be a bunch of keyboard warriors, per se. But you never actually come on the radio and actually state your opinions. Is that because you have a script there in front of you? And if Steve and myself ask you something completely off that script, you don't know what to say? These lies need to stop. The lies saying that the Cleveland Indians Chief Wahoo is hurting kids. That lie needs to stop. The Washington Redskins, the Redskins' name and their image. That saying that, you know, drug and alcohol abuse is high. That lie needs to stop. There is no image and nothing out there that is causing you to drink, that is causing you poor living conditions, poor water, poor sewer, poor whatever you're poor about. These schools and these major organizations out there have a zero responsibility of what's happening in your life. You are the main reason why stuff is happening to you. Now, if you do live in an area that doesn't have running water or power or something like that, well, then you need to take it up with your people. Don't take that out of context now, but take that up with your elders. Take that up with your council. Take that up with the people that actually have a reason to actually fix your particular area. Don't blame the Washington Redskins. Don't blame the Spokane Indians. Do not blame the Cleveland Indians. Do not blame anybody but yourself and but your own organization for those particular issues, Steve.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, why is it sports teams' fault for things that they have no hand in? Why is it their fault that people are drinking themselves to death or hanging themselves, you know, because they're impoverished conditions living in our land? Or maybe a child, maybe someone, you know, something horrible to them. They took their life because their kid was murdered by a non-reservation dwelling citizen. And the child's body never found. But those are things that are really happening. They're not being talked about. The media never focuses on any of this. They just throw it to the wayside. Yet someone stands up and goes upset because we're a bunch of victims and it's all the Redskins' fault. It's all the Cleveland Indians. And you go down to the very first peg of where this has started and what's built upon it is victim mentality. People not living up to their potential as human beings and wanting to lash out and blame everybody but themselves. It's accountability. Be accountable for your own actions. I don't blame my shortcomings, and there are a lot of things in my life that I'm happy about. Guess what? I blame myself for those, because if I control those, then it's on me. If it's out of my control, I can't take responsibility for it. But people who live on reservations and they're allowing this type of suppression and oppression to happen, it's your own fault for not standing out and doing something about it. It's not anybody else's fault. Got it. Maybe you start talking to your, you know, people, your citizens on the reservation saying, we need to get together and start doing something rather than throwing a blame at somebody who doesn't even have anything to do with it. Makes no sense.
You know, Steve, I agree with you 100%. And either I rattled Dave's cage for him to call with one more comment, because Dave's back here with us. Dave, you're live back on the Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fat Boy Media, DRCP Army. What's going on, my man?
I'll try to keep it shorter this time. But when you said something about recognizing these communities, and that doesn't mean that the government has to pay them all these funds that treaty tribes are getting. What it means is that like in Napa, that 54 acres that they are entitled to, what it means is that the state no longer can dictate to them. It becomes trust land, but it doesn't obligate the government to make all of these payments to them. And when it comes to casinos, this is one of the things that casinos was started for in 1981, and that is to help Native Americans be self-sufficient, to bring in money so that they can work with their people to become more self-sufficient. And so if they build a casino there, it is to help that community. And I wish that the tribes would do more with the casino monies to help their tribes out. But I needed to clarify that by recognizing that community, that 54 acres would go into trust land where the state would not be able to dominate them and tell them exactly what they have to do and all of these things. They become an entity of their own. And they, because they are not a treaty tribe, the government is not obligated to give them all of these education, health care, all of that. That doesn't come along with just recognizing this is their community. It is trust land for the WAPO community. And that's an important thing because I think a lot of people are looking at that they don't want these tribes recognized because it's going to mean that we have to give tax dollars to them. No, it doesn't. It just means that they are not obligated. The state has no jurisdiction over them, or limited, put it that way. Can only the state interference with them has to be a mutual agreement. Otherwise, and there again, like I say, they're starting to work on these tribal schools on reservations and trying to change their names. Well, the state and the federal government really have no power to do that, but they're doing it anyway. They don't have the authority to do it, but they have the power, and that's the horrible thing that's happening right now. And that with the state governments dictating to these people, this community, they're dictating what they have to do and how they have to live and all of this. Well, that is what recognizing them as a tribal community does. It allows them to have control over themselves and their 54 acres or whatever it happens to be. So I thought I needed to make that point so that people don't, because that's some of the arguments used. Well, if we allow them to become recognized, then we have to do all of this payment. No, that's a false argument too. That's a lie. And I grew up on the west side of Devil's Lake, and that was the downside of Devil's Lake. That was the wrong side of the tracks. But that didn't make me drink for so many years. I drank because I wanted to, and my life was pretty shitty for a long time. But it wasn't because I came from the west side. It was because of what I was doing. So I changed that. And I no longer do those things, and I no longer have all of these problems in my life. And when it comes to Native Americans, it's not because they live on a reservation. It's because they are doing things that they need to change their own habits on.
You are darn right, Dave. You're exactly 100% on you are your own victim. You are your own successor. If you want to be successful in life, you'll change yourself. If you want to be a victim, you will blame everyone but yourself.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. But one thing that isn't discussed enough, and on reservations, tribal people are oppressed, but not by the federal government. In many cases, they're oppressed by their tribal governments. And oppression. Oppression is where the real problem lies. And that needs to be examined more closely. The BIA does a horrible job of working in that area. And so, but Native American people are wonderful people. They have a sense of humor that just, I mean, us non-Indians, oh my God, we'd love to have that sense of humor. We could all be comedians up on a stage. But and their sense of humor is not politically correct. So,
that is true, Dave. Very, very true, sir. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest, sir?
Well, there's a lot of things I need to get off my chest, but that'll do it for now.
Well, sir, I will call you. I will sit on the chair. You sit on the sofa. Put your head down, and we can have a Farmer and Dave intervention for you, sir.
Oh, okay, then.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Good evening and a good weekend.
You too, sir.
Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, guys. Again, Dave Davidson. He always wants to let everyone in know the facts, and that is one thing about him, Steve. That if he feels that he left something wavering, he will definitely call and make sure that there is no gray area per se.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, don't mind. You can come on and talk all whatever. All good. He's always got something
exactly.
to throw out there. So,
well, guys, it's the favorite time. It's Farmer's favorite time. I know it's Steve's favorite time. I think it's Cat. I think it's Cat's favorite time. I think it's the entire staff of the Beating Drums' favorite time. It gave Steve and I a little time to breathe and think about what we want to talk about. Steve, do you want to do rock, paper, scissors for who goes first, sir?
Yeah, good. You want
to? All right. Ready?
Ready? Go. One, two, three.
I threw down
scissors.
God dang it, I threw down paper. You go first this time.
All right, cool.
Here we go. The favorite time. I know it's mine. I know it's yours because you guys get him every Monday night at about 9:30, generally 9:30. Steve, check him out. He's a vast of information. Engage with him on Mondays. Share his videos. Share the Beating Drum because we need you, not financially. We need your mouth. We need you to spread the word about the Beating Drum and about Steve's Monday Life Live with Steve. So without hesitation, you get Steve.
Now, with your final thoughts from Steve.
As he was saying, you know, I do a Facebook Live video from Beating Drum page every Monday night. Actually, I'm between 9 and 9:30, depending on the time I get home from work, and I'll touch on different subjects, just whatever I may happen to think about, I want to talk about for that night. You know, this week I did a storytelling about the history and the life of Pocahontas, which was actually really interesting. It'd be great if more people said that word and said, hey, you need to check this out, because I want people to start watching that and interacting more. Bonds lately was great. I appreciate every comment or message that I get on this. It's always a good time. So we'll do one of those on Monday, and I haven't really decided what I'm going to talk about, but I'm pretty certain I'll find something. So, you know, it's weird, it's kind of funny. Timing works out of things because I did that video Monday talking about the story and history of Pocahontas and how it's vastly different from the one that we've been taught within schools and in movies, because the Disney movie is so not even reflective of the true Pocahontas. And I thought it was funny that today I get up and I get online and there's this news comment or article or whatever about how Donald Trump is referring to Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas, and everybody all up in arms about it. And I thought it was kind of funny because the timing of it, it's like those two things were not tied together. It wasn't like I did the prelude into this because I had no idea that this was going to come up. And I know that he's referred to Elizabeth Warren in the past as Pocahontas because she lied on her college application, falsely stating that she was Native American. She claimed that she was from the Cherokee tribe, so that she could get special privilege within schools. And then now as she's out and, you know, further on down the line, it's come to find out that that's not true. She's not Native American. And the only reason that she claimed that was because of a feature that she claims that she shares with Native people, which is high cheekbones. She said, well, I have high cheekbones, so therefore I must be Native American because white people can have high cheekbones, which is a really ignorant,
the odd thing for anybody to say. And a lot of people are upset because, you know, referring to her as Pocahontas feel that that's out of context or whatever. The reality is that Pocahontas, in its native language, means playful one. So realistically, Donald Trump referring to Elizabeth Warren, is, I know he's using it in a way supposed to mock and fun of her, but in real world context, it's actually identified with positivity. So in a lot of ways, I can understand that he's doing this to try to, like, try to mock her and, you know, portray her as a fake Indian. But I don't think that Pocahontas is really the right word to do it, but I get where people are upset. But what they need to understand is that really it's using the word, it's not negative. Maybe the way he's trying to use it, but I think that it's kind of short. But I just thought that was kind of odd. But anyway, you know, it's just a weird thing that popped up this week that was kind of, wow, that's weird that this, I just talked about this a couple days ago. Anyway, outside of that, I don't really have anything else going on. You know, this is not for the faint of heart to take these things on, and we talked about it earlier. And, you know, I don't claim to be a victim because I feel like if I say that I'm a victim, then I just basically give validity to weak mentality and say that, well, I'm not strong enough to overcome some of these things that have been dealt with in my life. And that's what a lot of people do. Like, I can't overcome this injustice and this oppression, so I'm going to play a victim card and be a victim my whole life. And, you know, that's a really shady way to live your life. And it's superficial, and it's really pathetic if you really want to be honest. And I don't feel sorry for these people that play the victim all the time, and then when they call out on it, you know, they're like, don't know how to handle it. That's what you get when you falsely represent yourself. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on where right now, this is probably the most tumultuous time period that I can recall within my 36 years on this earth. And everybody is against one another. It's really sad. And a lot of times we need to turn the news off just for a day or so to cleanse our bodies of all that negative information that we take in. And we need to go back to the core essential value of why America was the greatest country in the world and why we still can be the greatest country in the world. We need to go back and start at the bottom and go, what do we need to fix from bottom up? And we need to work on taking care of ourselves first and foremost. Don't rely on the government to take care of you for you, because that's not going to happen. You need to stop playing the victim. Stop blaming everybody else, sitting there with your hand out saying, give me something for my oppression, and take responsibility, be accountable for whatever card you've been dealt. I'm, you know, the first one to come here and say, instead of blaming the government and asking for them to wipe it clean, you know what I do? I go out and take on jobs. I earn money whichever way I can. I don't hold anybody responsible but myself. And these people that go after these schools and these team names, that's what they're doing. They're lashing out at people that are not responsible for their problems. And for anybody to cave that is even worse than what these protesters are doing, because you're validating that type of mentality. You're rewarding bad behavior. It's worse than giving participation trophies, telling them, hey, for being this horrible human being and acting so bad, here's a prize. You reward their bad behavior. And schools have to stand up and say, you know what, we're going to do what we're going to do, and you're not invited to this conversation. Because unless you're here to address real, legit problems, then we don't talk about this. And that goes the same for these sports teams. People, you know what, we're doing fine without your input. We can handle it from here on. And I don't know where this is going to end. It's very disappointing because I expect better from people, and I wish that as a nation we could get past this and move on to real world issues, real problems that need solving very quickly. I think before anybody gets taken care of, we need to start working on taking care of ourselves, individuals, and then we can shout out, I fixed my problems, now let's help you. So until you fix your problems, just get up every morning with the mentality that, you know what, I'm going to start new. I'm going to start positive, and I'm going to invoke positive change. Don't laugh at people. Don't go reactive and start being negative, because that doesn't help the issue. Start with yourself. Get your mind right. Then reach out and help fellow neighbors. And then together, we can link up and we can be stronger than we are as individuals. Think about that. Do your best. And we'll talk to you guys on Friday. And I will see you on Monday.
Now, with your final thoughts from Farmer.
You know, Steve, you always seem to brighten my day and get me motivated for my final thoughts. You know, I kind of started my final thoughts a little early, just before Mr. Davidson called in. And I want to go back to that for my final thoughts. For the people who see a shirt or a jacket, or whenever you're out and about, and you being you, the Not Your Mascot people, when you see that and you have to post a picture of that particular person when they don't even know you took that picture, and you say, oh, look what I had to look at, this symbol or this mascot, and I'm offended. How petty does that sound? How petty does that make you and your organization look? Think about that for a minute. How petty is it? How petty is it when you see something that says Redskins or Braves or Indians or whatever else offends you? When you drive on a road that says Indians, do you get off of it really fast because the word offends you? Or do you drive on that road because you need to? Or do you go around it? Or do you cross over it and you take a picture of it and you post it in your group, or you post it wherever you post, say, see, look at this hatred. You know what that makes you? That makes you a petty person. That makes you shallow. That makes you a whole lot of other words that I want to say but I won't here on the Beating Drum Radio Show. And you're like, oh, this image oppresses me. I want to know, and I've asked this in almost every single show now for almost 2 years. How does that oppress you? How does a image oppress you? How does a name oppress you? That is my question that I want answers for. And when I see one of you, wherever I may be, because I'm sure I'm going to run across you, I'm going to ask you that question. I'm going to ask you how Chief Wahoo that I'm wearing on my head oppresses you. How can a smiling person offend you? Is it because he has teeth? Is it because he's smiling? Is it because he's supposedly a character? And then what if I showed you a drawing of me being a character? Would that offend you? Are you just offended just to be offended? Sometimes I just don't get it. Maybe it's because I have a brain. Maybe it's because you were told what to be offended by or about. Are you that easy to control? Are you really that easy to control? Is the millionaire who's holding you by your hand controlling you? Are you controlled by money? Is your organization controlled by money? Because if it is, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And in my eyes, you're doing it for the wrong reasons in general. But are you doing it because of a billionaire who tells you to do it? Are you doing it because somebody walked up to you and said, hey, you need to be offended by this? That's what I want to know. Because if you tell me yes, I'm going to look at you and say you're a bloody liar. I want to know how this image offends you. That's what I want to know. And I think that's what America wants to know, is why your group wants these Native American images removed based on false accusations and lies. Because that is exactly what they are. They are nothing but lies and false accusations. We here at the Beating Drum believe in education, not eradication. Let's educate people. Let's not eradicate them on false BS and on false lies and false accusations and false pieces of papers that says something that's not. Or Hollywood that says it in their films, you know, one words versus another. You should be smarter than that, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that I am. And I know that everyone that follows the Beating Drum Radio Show is that smart also. So if you're smart and you're educated, share this show. Share it far and wide. Because the Beating Drum is the premier Native American radio show in America that is preserving positive Native American imagery in sports and mainstream. As we all know, many communities across the country have been targeted by groups like the Not Your Mascot Hate Group, the NAACP, and many others to change their names and icons of their beloved sports teams by falsely claiming that these names and images are racist and derogatory towards Native Americans. It is time we bring the fight to these groups. It's time we help communities by educating them with truth, dispelling any lies, any misinformation being presented to them. We at the Beating Drum Radio Show, we can't do this alone. We're reaching out, as every week we do and every Monday we do, for your help. And if your help is just sitting in your chair or sitting wherever you sit on your smartphone watching Steve or listening to us, press the share button. That's all that I'm asking. I'm asking you to share our show. Or by calling in and let your voice be heard. Let us know what's happening. Because we can't do it without you. We can. We've done it. And we will continue to do it. The strong survive. Like Steve said, this isn't for the faint of heart. Educate yourself, people. Let's not eradicate. And as always, never give up. And in everything that you do in your life, never back down.
Let's go. It's in the end, baby. Yeah, until the